Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen and I'm pleased to be joined this evening by Catherine, who is a longtime part of the Sangha, joining us to talk this afternoon about reflective listening buddies. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you, Jen. I'm happy to be on Good News Update.
Great. Thanks for participating in this way. I think we even get points for this, maybe.
Oh, great. Good.
The Reflective Listening Buddies program has been around for, quite a number of years now. It happens every quarter, and I believe the deadline for signing up for the next quarter is coming right up, so we thought it would be fun to feature it. And if I'm not mistaken, you're one of the pioneers. You've been in the program for a long, long time. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I started with the pilot.
Oh, very good.
In the program, yeah.
Fun. So we chose the right person. You could start by telling us a little bit about the program in general, kind of what it is and how it works.
Sure. Well, participants are paired with a buddy, and every week they have a phone call. One of the buddies calls the other, and for the call is for 30 minutes at a set time, usually set time every week. And well, it doesn't have to be, but one of the buddies will share for 15 minutes about their practice, what's going on in their life, what they're feeling, whatever they want to talk about. And the other buddy, the buddy will listen and just reflect exactly what they say to the best of their ability, what they say using their own words.
So the other buddy who's listening, to the best of their ability, reflects what they're hearing their partner say, ideally using their partner's words.
Right. Yeah. And then after that buddy is done sharing, after 15 minutes, then they switch, and the buddy who reflected first begins to share for the next 15 minutes, and that person is reflected.
And what happens if you have no idea how to do reflective listening?
You don't really have to know too much to, to do reflective listening.
You don't really have to know too much.
You don't have to know anything, actually.
The less you know, the better, isn't it?
Yes. Because we know who thinks they know.
That's
conditioning.
And knowing can get in the way of being able to reflect, can't it?
Right. Correct. Yeah. And
which
the reflection...
Really, that's sort of a fun aside, but truly, if I have an idea of, you know, I mean, it's what reflective listening is not. So we're not getting on the phone with each other and going, oh, well, you know, gosh, I think you should really or it sounds to me like you should.
Right.
But we just simply hold a space for each other to just see our own process.
Right. Yeah. And that can be, in my experience, that can be very healing. And even if I'm holding the space for the other person and reflecting, and there's a connection, and I'm present, and I'm just there for that other person to the very best of my ability, and also so that is that I find that very peace-inducing.
Yes.
And calming and healing in a sense to have that kind of connection with another person that's not personal. It's not personal, but it is both of you are practicing awareness with each other as much as possible, as much as you
so
can.
Just showing up, being present, being willing to hold the space feels very healing to you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Conditioning out here in the hinterlands, conditioning tells me I'm really alone and there are so many unconscious people out there that I can't trust anyone. And every week I have a phone call with someone who is practicing awareness just like I am.
Yeah.
And that's a great reminder. It's a great support.
It is.
For the practice. And when I'm sharing and someone else is just paying attention in order to hold that space for me, and reflecting what I'm saying, and I'm really heard, that is extremely moving to me. And I often experience shifts. I often have a lot of new insight into my process.
Yeah. So it's like it's really two things, isn't it? Just the practice of doing it, that you're willing to show up, that someone else, who knows where, somewhere else in the country or even the world, there are people who participate in all different countries, is willing to show up for you in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
moving it is just that, no matter what mm-hmm. you talked about, but then getting on the call and really looking at whatever is currently up for you in your practice, in your life, having that reflected back, you often have insights and see shifts as you
mm-hmm.
do that.
Mm-hmm. It's a time in the week. It may be the half hour in the week where I am the most present.
Yeah.
And even as wonderful and helpful as recording and listening is, I will sometimes, my mind will wander while I'm recording, and there'll be this long silence, you know, on my recording when I listen to it. And when I'm sharing to be reflected, I'm well aware the other person is there. So I'm seeking to be present too, and I'm seeking to be present to what I'm saying.
Yes.
So I'm much more attentive.
Yes. Well, it's like Sherry often says to us, you know, you will do for the love of others what you would not be willing to do for yourself. And so showing up, I mean, it's really what Sangha is, isn't it? It's the heart of
mm-hmm.
that we agree that we both want to do this thing. We all want to end suffering. And it's really,
mm-hmm.
in my experience, the most challenging thing a human can undertake. And
mm-hmm.
so we agree, okay, we all want to do this thing, but we've really got to support each other. So Reflective Listening Buddies is just another way to do that. It's like you and your buddy agree, okay, for this half hour, we're going to get together and we're going to support each other in being at the level of presence that we aspire to bring to every moment of our life.
Right. Yeah. And we see something I see every week, and every time I listen to the radio show, and every week on my call, how much we are alike.
It's so true.
So, right. And so conditioning wants to tell me, you are the only person who ever feels this way, and there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And because you are doing such and such. And even if I can't relate really to the content of what my buddy is saying, the process of self-hate, the process of conditioning, of karma, I can certainly relate to. So
yeah.
we're all very much alike, and that is brought home to me.
Yeah, and it blows through conditioning story. That,
yeah.
Oh, I'm uniquely flawed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a few minutes ago we were joking about the less you know, the better. But truly, if someone, you know, is out there saying, well, gosh, I really don't know how to do reflective listening, so I can't do the program, there's a whole training process that happens with it.
Right.
So, I think in the beginning of the quarter, there are a series of calls where you actually, if you've never done it before, you learn how to do reflective listening.
Correct.
And
right,
then,
and there's a demonstration. Uh-huh.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, there's a demonstration.
Yep.
So volunteers on the training call will, one person will share and another person will reflect them on the call.
Uh-huh.
So you can hear what that's like.
Yep.
And you can see that it doesn't have to be perfect,
right.
Which is... For me, was the conditioning that beats up on me all the time, how imperfect I am. It's good to see that.
Yeah.
And then people who have been in the program will talk about their experience with the program.
Yeah. So there's a ton of support, you know, and then throughout the quarter there are support calls, which are essentially you get to get on a call for an hour with Sangha all over the world and have group for an hour.
Right.
Just
right.
talk about,
yes.
like, and maybe in your reflective listening practice or maybe just in whatever's going on for you in practice.
Right, yes, and the groups are great, and then participants are sent out a link to the call, so you can listen to that at your leisure.
Yep.
And it's like listening to the radio show is so helpful, and listening to the group discussions, same way.
Yeah, really, really great. So I really encourage anyone who has not done it before to hop online and sign up and give yourself that gift this coming quarter.
I would second that.
Excellent. else think of, Catherine, that we've left out before we can?
No, I'm just so grateful for the program and for everything the monastery is doing and all of the Sangha and their participation. It's really
so grateful to the participation of the whole Sangha. It's really
it's
a team effort. Yep.
And we're all in this together.
We're all in
feels
this
good.
Together. We're doing fabulous.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for being on with us tonight, Catherine.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Good night.
Good night.
So, Michael?
Yes.
I'm going to pass the show over to you in just one moment, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Saturday is the big day.
So it's the first item on my list.
I'm sure it is, so I guess I could save you one announcement. But so the Bridgewalk is on Saturday, and it's actually not too late to register. It is too late to get a T-shirt, it's true, because we've already they've actually already been printed. We just heard from the screen printers that they were printed early, so that's pretty exciting, and we'll be sending them out to everyone who registered from afar and isn't able to join us and bringing them to the walk for everyone who is joining us. But not too late to register. If you still want to join us in person, we'll still have a burrito for you, if not a T-shirt. And anyone who's far-flung can still register, too, because every registration adds another child to the program this year. So motivation enough to register.
So any time this week is fine, right up till the Bridgewalk?
Right up until the Bridgewalk. I can't completely guarantee that you would get a burrito, but it's pretty likely because we almost always have extras. So
great.
I know.
Great.
Pretty good, huh?
Yes, and since we've just been talking about reflective listening, what you just said is that there's still time to sign up and register. You probably won't get a T-shirt, and you'll likely get a burrito, and you'll be supporting food for another child in Cantaloma.
That's beautifully modeled, Michael. Thank you.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen.
So, and have a great show.
Okay, we will. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Dave McKay, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Michael.
Great to have you on the air tonight.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Great. Great.
You know what? Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you first.
I was just going to comment. I just found that that conversation that Jen and Catherine had really interesting. You know, what I was looking at as they were talking is how important it is for all of us to have a place in our life that we can go where we don't have to act out of our conditioned personality.
Yes.
You know, the best way to do that, of course, is come on retreat. And often, you know, folks who are involved with the Sangha will come on retreat as often as they can make it through the year, because you come on retreat, you get to kind of leave all this stuff behind, all this kind of personality stuff that we're trying to get behind and be in an environment where you just don't have to do that. And I was just admiring, I feel like that Reflective Listening Buddies program, the person who, you know, had that idea, was just a little stroke of genius right there. Because it, like Catherine said, I think people's experience generally is that it's the most present time in their week because they have to show up for it. And they get to show up for it in a way where they don't have to bring all this, you know, do I like you? Do you like me? Who's more powerful? You know, all those kind of things that we do with each other. They just get to bring themselves. And to have a place where you can do that and then experience actually yourself instead of your conditioning is just so valuable.
Yes. Yes. It's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking as you were talking that the guidelines of the program and of the practice, what came to me kind of visually is really just fencing out conditioning from that interaction, from that conversation, because you're not allowed and you can't. And so you don't, and so you have that experience that you're describing of just being there without that filter of conditioning.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that is what happens. And I think that explains why people are really surprised often by the intimacy that develops between them and their partner. I mean, you're in the program. You've probably had that experience.
Yeah.
But it's really like being on retreat with a person. So you might spend like on retreat, you might spend a whole week with somebody. You don't learn what their last name is. You don't know what kind of foods they like. You don't know what they do for a living. You know, you don't, a lot of times you don't even know are they married or not married or any of those kind of things that normally are the kind of the first things you find out about somebody.
Yes.
But you find out kind of who they are just from hearing them talk in group, and there's a heart connection there that is really easy and simple to make without all of the conditioning that's there. And so yeah. In the Reflective Listening Buddies program, just like, you know, here at the monastery, we set it up to, like you say, to kind of fence all that out. And you get to experience your own self. And then just like Catherine was saying, you know, how similar we all are. And also, you know, kind of add to that just how beautiful we are in another person.
Yes. 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 It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I was, before I came to the monastery, I had this idea that solitude was the way to do it. And in a way, it kind of, there's something to that because, you know, you can get away from people, like, especially if you go out in nature, something that reflects sort of, you know, the inner harmony that's there when conditioning's not there and the beauty and all of that. But I never got until I experienced practice and experienced being with people in a privileged environment that how important it is to actually have other people involved too and have that reflection.
Yeah.
You know, the Buddha apparently, I don't know if this is true, but this is what I've heard. Apparently the Buddha said, you know, there's three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. So the Bodhi is, you know, the inherent enlightenment within. You know, Dharma is the teachings and the teacher, that which kind of offers us a path to find that. And Sangha, those guys were talking about Sangha. Sangha is the community, the practice together. And apparently, he said, you know, it's possible just to do it with Bodhi, you know, just to sit, look within, be still, and discover your inherent enlightenment. But he said, almost nobody can do that. And so therefore, we need a teacher. We need teachings. We need the experience of people who have come before. That's the Dharma part. And then we need the support, like those guys were talking about. We need the support of other people who are doing the same thing. And the reflection that comes in that to assist us to discover that. Otherwise, I think we end up wandering a long way around without ever really realizing where we need to go and how to get there.
Yes, yes, yes. And use the word reflection. And for me, what I get out of that is I see practice modeled by the monks and by the guide and by people on retreat. And that kind of gives me a compass sort of mm-hmm. of where I am mm-hmm. with respect to what the program is.
yeah, because there's another person.
Yeah, and as you said, I can see, well, you know, maybe I'm not really with the program here. And, you know, what's going on with me and where am I and like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because how else would we know? Because, you know, we're just going to go to conditioned mind to get that information. And conditioned mind, if we're going the wrong way, it's going to say, okay, you're going the right way. And it's really hard to catch on to that. Yeah. And also, you know, just people are heroic. We did a at-home working meditation thing the other day. I think it was a couple weeks ago now. In that, as often will happen, Reflective Listening Buddies in these other programs, you're just touching in with these folks who are just everyday kind of folks living life in the world, doing these heroic practice things, going up against conditioning, saying no to the voices, reaching out to these small parts of them and embracing them, and it's just really amazing. And you know, to have that kind of reflection too is really, really helpful.
Yes, yes, yes. It's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing practice.
So anyway, I just thought that was really interesting, and I agree with those gals that Reflective Listening Buddies is a good deal. It's one of the best things we've got going, I think, for folks who are practicing in the world. So it's not too late to sign up.
Yes, great. Yes, the deadline is this Saturday, October 1st.
All right, cool, good. Well, that gives people plenty of time.
Yes. And actually, we've now gone through the first two items on the announcement.
Okay.
Yeah, the bridge walk.
Very efficient.
Yes, the bridge walk this Saturday. As Jen mentioned, there's still time to sign up on the website. And the next quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies starts on October 15th. The last day to sign up is this Saturday, October 1st. And then October 21st and 22nd, that's a Friday evening and Saturday all day, Creative Power in Life and Art, Finding Your Creative Muse, Exploring Your Creative Path. And this is a retreat with Sherry Huber and Jenny Fox at Namaste in Felton, California.
Boy, that sounds like a fun one, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Also, that same day, Saturday, is another one-day at-home working meditation retreat guided by the monks.
Great. Yeah, another really good opportunity.
Yes, yes. And the following Saturday, October 29th, guidance day for monthly donors. And these are guidance appointments by phone throughout the day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we just did one of those this last Saturday. Yeah, really fun for us, too. We get to talk to all of our favorite folks out there.
Yes, yes, yes. And then for the month of November, beginning on the 1st, it's Time to Feel Good, an email class with Sherry.
Yeah, and I know we've been saying this as we go along, but that is a really big opportunity because that takes people right into the recording and listening practice and a whole bunch of opportunities that are beyond that. So if anyone out there is on the fence about it, I would highly recommend that to do that email class. It can make a huge difference in life and in practice.
Yes, yes. And you mentioned the importance of going on retreat. And what I notice is when I'm not on retreat, I just feel so blessed because these opportunities are just coming at me in
mm-hmm.
my home,
mm-hmm.
you know, over the phone and over the computer. It's really, you know, it's so simple.
Yeah, more than ever before.
Yes, more than ever before. Absolutely. And then Saturday, November 5th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., a workshop with Sherry in San Diego at Marina Village, and it's entitled Awareness, It's Not What You Think.
She's good with titles.
I love that title.
Yeah, that's good. She's awful good with titles.
That one is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And registration for that event is available online now. And then December 27th through January 1st, that's a Tuesday through Sunday, A Conscious, Compassionate New Year. And this is the New Year's retreat with Sherry and the monks at Santa Sabina Center in San Rafael, California. And this is in the hills in beautiful Marin County, just north of San Francisco.
Yeah, that's good. I know it sounds like we think that every single thing that happens is the best opportunity that's ever happened. And I think that's because it's true. And this is a really good one too. You know, talk about the importance of being on retreat. This is the biggest retreat of the year. You know, people are going to be coming from all over the country to participate in that. Really, really fun. It's a nice facility, cozy. You can stay really comfortable, unlike here at the monastery in the wintertime. And it's really a good one. Sherry will be there, so it's another good one.
Yes, it includes daily workshops and meditation, scenic walks, individual guidance with Sherry, yoga, and delicious vegetarian food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
All right, great.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Michael, hi, Dave. This is Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well. Thanks largely to practice, really. I'm very well.
Yeah, that kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So I'm just calling because I have a commitment to call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to report that the last time I called in for my monthly commitment, I was practicing with you know, just kind of seeing what would show up in the moment and not necessarily preparing something ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, conditioning wanted to prepare something, but I was,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking at that. And it was just really fun. I just wanted to report that, you know, I got off of the call and I got so much conditioned information that it was, like, horrible and I should never do that again. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, what Sherry must have thought of, you know, what a crazy person I sounded like. I mean, I just got a lot of information that I sounded terrible and it was a disaster and this whole thing. And then I, you know, eventually had time to listen to the archive and I sort of heard the part where I called and talked to Sherry and it was like, it was fine. It wasn't
uh-huh.
a disaster. We had a just fine conversation. It was completely great. And so that was just really good to see.
It is good to see. Well, there's two really good things about that, I think. One is, you know, you are aware of this, I'm sure, that, you know, when conditioning starts kicking up a fuss like that, usually it's an indication that we're kind of stepping in territory that it doesn't feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
So for you to be, instead of going to conditioning before the call and kind of scripting things out, which it would love for you to do, just in order so that it can, you know, stay in control of the conversation as much as possible, you know, you're just going to basically step out and say, oh, no thanks, I don't need your help this time. And I could see why a conditioner would get really uncomfortable with that. And, you know, the beating always comes after we make a choice that's against conditioning.
Yeah, it was so, I mean, I was just so grateful that the call was recorded. You know, it was another one of those, like, wow, I'm so grateful for Sangha to kind of check in and see what's actually so, because if I only had those voices and not another place to check in, I mean, the information from conditioning was like, you cannot ever do that again. It was a disaster. And then, you know,
yep,
to see, of course, as always, that conditioning was just completely lying. It was so good to see that contrast just so clearly.
Yeah, that was the second thing, actually, that I really liked. It was, the way I was thinking about it, is your willingness to listen to that recording. Because what's supposed to happen...
There was a lot of kicking and screaming from conditioning, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to take the beating, and then that's designed to prevent you from accessing any information other than it. You know, it says, okay, that was a really bad idea. You screwed that up. Everybody thinks you're, you know, whatever it says. And then that's supposed to be, a, you know, the fact. And it's kind of like it draws a line in the sand, and it says, you know, it says all that stuff about it, but what's really underneath it is, you cannot step outside of my control like that anymore. That's just not okay with me. And like you say, if there's no way to get kind of feedback on that, then you're just sort of stuck with conditioning's interpretation of what happened, and then you very likely will kind of go along with conditioning's program, because what else do you have, really? But to be able to, you know, there's a lot of ways in our practice to do that. You know, we can talk about it in group. We can call the radio show and talk about it. We can talk about it on Reflective Listening Buddies call. You know, lots of ways of kind of getting outside of the little box conditioning puts us in order to just get a sense of what's actually so, instead of what's conditioning's interpretation. And then, of course, you found a very clever way. You said, well, I don't know. I wonder if that's true. And just listened to the recording and found out, of course, it's not true at all.
Yes, exactly. I'm so grateful that there are, you know, as you said, so many ways that we can do that in practice.
Because, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was so good to see it, you know, for this particular one. It just, you know, was one more reminder of like, boy, how many times do I go through a day and I get information from conditioning and I believe that it's true? And it was just one more support to say, wait a second, you know, is that so? To be asking, is that so with, like, everything? It was
mm-hmm.
such a great reminder for that.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, when we keep checking things out like that, we find out it actually is never.
Oh, are you still there, Dave?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sorry. I thought that I lost you there for a moment.
Yeah, well, we find out it's never true. We're really conditioned to believe it, but, of course, it never is. Yeah. And that willingness, you know, because what it's easy to project onto that is a decision. There's a decision being made on some level that you want something larger than what conditioning will provide. You know that conditioning is a powerful force in your mind, but that's not what you want. You're questioning it. You know, you're not just kind of going along with the program. You're actively campaigning against its control, against the control it has over you.
Yeah, and I felt that again tonight. I felt gratitude to that person that has the willingness or whatever
mm-hmm.
goes on, you know, because there was tonight resistance again. Oh, I don't want to call. Now I don't have anything again, but I know, you know, whatever, just the whole thing. And it felt like it was going to be this bad, awful thing, like everybody
mm-hmm.
talks about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, all of a sudden, it became so relaxing because I
mm-hmm.
just got to this place of like, well, okay, thanks for sharing. That's interesting. But somebody has made a commitment to call, and so she's going to get to call, and that's
mm-hmm.
just what's going to go on, you know?
Yeah. I find that to be very mysterious, actually. You know, what
yeah.
is that? You know, because I don't know if this is your experience, but my experience often is it seems like everything in me is saying no. You know, everything is resisting, doesn't want it, wants to, you know, it never talks about wanting to suffer, but that's basically what it comes down to. You know, wanting to be the me who I was trained to be, who is small and separate and kind of pseudo-safe in this really kind of limited, unhappy place. And it just seems like everything in me wants that. And then, but then these decisions are being made outside of that, like to show up for things and to practice and not run away and all this other thing. And it's like, what is that? It doesn't, it at the same time, it doesn't feel like me, but it also feels more like me than anything else that I've ever experienced. And what is that?
Like, what is that place that just is able to make that commitment or something, that kind of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, despite all of the resistance and all of the, you know, the no saying that's going on, there's something within us, if we're willing for it, and that's, you know, when I keep getting back to in this conversation, you know, if we're willing for it, that will just carry us through. You know, we can kick and scream all we want to. It's actually not a problem at all, because there's something else that will just carry us through, kind of despite our best efforts to the contrary.
Definitely feels like something larger than me. I'm with you. It's some mysterious, like, I'm just so grateful when it, you know, like I said, just to feel that relaxation of like,
mm-hmm.
oh yeah, okay, you know, I can listen to all of this, but something somehow is just getting me to, you know, well, I'm calling, so here we go, and, you know.
Yeah, I it really is relaxing, too, because, you know, with that piece of information, we really can relax. You know, okay, this actually, even this practice isn't up to me. I don't have to know where I'm going. I don't have to try to get there. All I really have to do is follow the form of the practice. You know, it's really good to sit. It's really good to, these days we're recording and listening. It's really good to participate, kind of as we were talking about earlier in the show with Reflective Listening Buddies. It's really good to go on retreat. You know, I know those things will really support me. But otherwise, you know, this transformation that's happening is really kind of happening on its own program. I'm actually pretty clueless about any of it. And so all I can just kind of take a like a seat on the sidelines and just watch it happen as I go through.
Yes, well, I think that is my time, so I want other people to get a chance to talk about all these great things too, but thank you so much. I'm so, so grateful and wonderful to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling in.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, good night.
Bye, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air. Dave, we have another caller.
All right, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Sandy from Florida. Hi, Dave. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Sandy.
Hi.
I'm so grateful to have gotten through. I have been in a horrible place being tortured by conditioning for the last 8 days, and with bouts of sanity and then insanity, and I really need some guidance.
Yeah, that's great. What's going on?
Well, the content is that 8 days ago we were at a dinner party and laughing and joking and gently teasing with our neighbors and that kind of thing. And one of our neighbors misunderstood something that my husband said and took it personally and got angry.
Uh-oh.
And walked out of the dinner party.
Oh, my.
And so the next morning, my husband went over to apologize for any misunderstanding that may have taken place. But by then, our neighbor was even more angry, and my husband was told to get out of there in very unkind terms. And so I've been going back and forth between, you know, now that this friend is angry, we haven't done any, they're neighbors too, we haven't done anything with them for the whole week, and when I've seen them, the man that's mad at my husband's willing to talk to me, but not willing to even look in my husband's direction. We normally would do things with them socially or just talk across the yard, and that's not happening. And so conditioning, now to get to the process, you know, conditioning has me going insane. I'm reading my tools from What You Practice, and I made a toolbox, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, Don't Take It Personally came out of my toolbox one day, and I thought, okay, don't take this personally. That's his conditioning. You don't have to let your conditioning jump in here.
Mm-hmm.
But then the very next moment, like 10 minutes later, I'm mad at my husband for what I've decided is his joking inappropriately. So now it's my husband's fault because he shouldn't have been joking like that, even though he didn't. I know in my heart he didn't do anything wrong, but everything's wrong now, and I'm just feeling so awful. The next thing that came out of my toolbox is love is the answer. So I thought, okay, I can just put a lot of love into this situation, and it'll get better. Mm-hmm. And we saw our neighbor today, and he turned around and walked the other way, even though he was trying to get to his house. But we were between him and his house, and he didn't want to see my husband, so he turned around and walked the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm just so stuck in conditioning. This has to be my fault. Urgency is not my friend, but I need to fix this now.
Uh-huh. And would you say that's kind of the key to the whole difficulty?
Having to fix it.
Yeah, having to fix it right now.
Yeah, I want to go back to the way it was. I'm devastated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm powerless.
A part of you is.
Part of me is, yes.
Yeah, a part
of you. My husband says it's a control thing. It's out of my control. And so since I can't control it, I'm alternately mad at him, mad at the universe, leaning, you know, not listening to the voices and thinking, it's really okay, this is my journey, and my journey wasn't going that way, you know, but, ah.
Well, all of those tools that you're pulling out of your toolbox are somehow getting into the hands of conditioning, it sounds like.
Boy, they sure are.
Yeah, they're being twisted around, and they're being used as ways to try to get rid of the experience you're having.
Yeah. Why?
Well, you tell me. I don't know if you can step back enough to do this, but if you can kind of imagine, you know, there's this human, who, you know, who's going through this, what you're going through. And if you're looking at it from the point of view of conditioning and what conditioning's trying to do, what's conditioning trying to accomplish in you by taking advantage of this opportunity as it is?
Making me absolutely miserable, bringing out every bit of paranoia that's ever existed in any of the cells in my body.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly what's happening, isn't it? It's presenting itself in a way that's believable to you because, I mean, that does sort of make sense, it seems like, that there's this real thing that's happening that's really difficult. You need to fix it. You need to make it so that's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to catch on that that's actually the thing that's holding everything together. You know, it's always what's going on with me right now that's causing the suffering, not necessarily what I can see, because you can obviously see, you know, there's your neighbor's condition, there's your husband's conditioning, there's projections happening, everybody's going their conditioning in a situation. You can see that, so that's not really the suffering.
I can, yes.
Yeah, that's not really where the suffering is. The suffering is always happening in the place that we can't see. So, you know, not seeing that I need to fix this is the thing that's actually sort of implementing the suffering in it, then, you know, the suffering happens.
So if I could find a different place for I need to fix this, then I could perhaps stop suffering?
Well, see, you've got to be careful, don't we? Because if our agenda is to stop suffering, we have an agenda. And
conditioning
survives on agendas. Let me give you this little. There's this little game that we play here sometimes.
You
know, like there's something going on. Like let's say I've got a headache.
Yep.
Okay. Well, and then you know, there's everything conditioning is doing about the headache. This shouldn't be happening. I hate this. You know, trying to get rid of it. You know, it's just a much smaller version of what you're talking about.
Yes.
So the game is, what if this were never going to stop? What if for the rest of my life, every moment of my life, I was going to have a headache? How could I be okay with that?
Could I?
Definitely. It takes an incredible amount of willingness and courage, too, because it involves letting go of huge chunks of, especially in the situation you're describing, you know, huge chunks of conditioning.
And, you know, the strange thing is that I have moments of clarity.
Mm-hmm.
I have moments where, you know, I almost feel a lifting off my shoulders, and
mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, this is not something I can control. I can
mm-hmm.
only go forward with what I have, and
mm-hmm.
and I need to not take this personally and not bring my conditioning into the mix. It's bad enough that everybody else's is there, but I can help by not bringing mine.
Yeah. And have you noticed that in a way, when those kind of moments happen, the moments of clarity, that you actually don't make them happen?
Yeah.
They just kind of happen.
Because when
don't
I try
they?
To force something,
mm-hmm.
it's awful.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. But instead, when you're basically describing, you know, a process of letting go. So you realize that you have no control. You realize, perhaps on some level, you're being controlled by conditioning through this, and you just give it up. You know, Christians have a great thing about this, where because they've got God, right? So
yes.
you can give it over to God. You know, I'm helpless here. This is way bigger than me.
Like a 12-step program kind of thought.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just giving it over. I'm giving it over to something larger than me, and. You know, we do the same thing. We just don't talk about it in the same way. And I think that those kind of moments of clarity that you're having, I suspect that's what's going on. But you're not doing it. It's just happening, I would project, because as a result of the practice that you've done over time.
Yeah.
It's just that these insights are dropping in because that's what you've been practicing.
Well, and if it weren't for the insights dropping in, I think I would be totally insane by now. But all it takes is just looking out the window when I walk by the window, and then a whole story pops in my head of, oh, I'll bet all of our friends are over at their house tonight, but we weren't invited because my husband got into this thing, and he's mad, and my friend is mad, and so then, you know, my friend's a jerk, and, you know, what's the
mm-hmm.
matter with him, and why isn't his wife straightening him out, but then it's my husband's fault, and Dave.
Yeah, it's the voices, huh?
Yeah.
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 You know, another angle on it that I find really helpful in situations like this is just to remember that it really is, you know, a practice opportunity. You know, we make a little joke about that all the time. When something really bad happens, we go, oh, I've had a practice opportunity happen. But it's true. You know, it really is a practice opportunity. You've been practicing, obviously. You're finding that you're knowing more and more that place of clarity within you. Now, here's something that happens that has attempted to throw it all out the window.
Yeah.
So how can you be okay even with this? How can you do your practice even with this and sort of use it? And this is, again, in a not a doing kind of a way, but just using it as a really big and kind of perfectly orchestrated for you opportunity to see the voices in action, to see what your karma is, your conditioning, and also to watch those insights dropping in and those places of clarity.
Well, I do love those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the only peace I have because this is very painful. There's been a lot of crying and
mm-hmm.
gnashing of teeth and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so those moments of clarity, you know, are the only times I've gotten any sleep or felt any peace.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We can be really grateful for those. We can't make them happen, but we can be available to them for sure.
Okay. So I just took 2 pages of notes, Dave, and I'm
okay.
going to read them over and over and over, but I think what I heard you say is that I have to let it go.
Yeah, how can you be okay with this? As if it were going on the rest of your life, how could you be okay with this?
As if it were going on for the rest of my life, how could I be okay with this?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have any choice, would I?
No, you wouldn't, yeah. It seems like, that's a really good point, actually. It seems like you do. Mm-hmm.
But I don't, do I?
Not really. I mean, you have a choice to suffer.
Yeah.
If you want to. That's a choice we can all make, but it's just not a very good choice.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot to sit with here, don't I?
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, good.
And you're absolutely right. I am so incredibly grateful for the practice because those moments of clarity have been great. And I got myself to the call. Last week, Tuesday, I thought, oh, I'm going to be fine because it happened on Monday night. And on
mm-hmm.
Tuesday night, I didn't call. I just said, oh, I'll be fine. It'll be okay. Well, it wasn't. It got bigger, and
mm-hmm.
I'm glad I called. So.
Yeah, me too. Taking advantage of the support that's there, it's critical.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Sandy. Great talking to you.
You too. Thanks again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sandy. You're listening to Open Air. Dave, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All righty.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of...
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open-air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about open-air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Dave, we have another caller.
Alrighty.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Holly from Australia.
Hey, Holly.
Hi.
How in the world are you?
True. I'm pretty good. Yeah. I'm just ringing up, really, just to say hi and report on practice.
Mm-hmm. How's it going?
I haven't. I tried calling in a couple of months ago for a few weeks, and I just couldn't get through. I couldn't even get in the queue. I just kept getting when I would ring, the lines open 15 minutes before the show starts, and I kind of did that for quite a while. And I don't know what was going on, but Mercury was in retrograde. That might have something to do with it. So today when I actually, you know, got through, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm doing, for the first time, I've enrolled in the Reflective Listening Buddies.
Oh, great. Did you say for the first time?
Yeah, I've never done it.
Oh, awesome.
I know, and I think what I'm looking forward to the most is learning how to do it, because I've got the CD that I ordered a while ago, recorded at the monastery, but I really look forward to practicing it in a kind of structured way, as in, you know, it's an official thing rather than just with my friends when I'm listening to them from what I've kind of heard on the CD. So
yeah, I think you'll find it.
This is exciting.
I think you'll find it to be really, really helpful that way. It's one of the best things that's going, I think, especially for folks who live in the world who, you know, have relationships with various kinds of people. And it's just, it's a great way when you're interacting with someone to assist you in being present. I mean, you know, by doing, that's one of the kind of, you find out in the program, it's kind of one of the key things about it is, in order to reflect somebody, you actually have to be here because you have to listen. You have to hear what they say. You can't, you know, if your mind's wandering off to things that aren't here, you'll miss it and you won't be able to hear them. And so it really helps to ground us in the moment. And it also assists us in keeping out of our own conditioning. Like if you're having, like, let's say a difficult interaction with somebody, you know, if you just go to reflective listening, you can stay here, you know, and it really helps with not taking it personally and, you know, all the kind of things that we want.
Yeah, I think that's what I really need is to be able to hear someone without getting identified.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I have that kind of a different approach to what I kind of do, Yeah, I feel it could really help my relationships.
I think so, too.
Yeah, because I
think so, too. I think it helps. I think it helps everyone because, what it does, there's a guideline there that says we can only reflect in the program, and our tendency is going to be to do lots of other stuff. And so it's just like anything, like at the monastery, any guideline, it gives us something to run into as we're heading towards our conditioning. So like, let's say, for example, if you had a karma that's like you're a helper kind of a person. So if someone's having a hard time, you really want to help them not have a hard time. Well, if there's not a structure there that says, you can only reflect, then you'll just kind of do that. And that will seem like a good thing to do and like that. But when you have a structure there that says you can only reflect and you cannot actually go and try to help somebody, you see the urgency behind it, how much of your own needs are in it. You can also see how unhelpful it is, different things like that. So it puts a mirror up, gives us something to run into that helps us see kind of how we're programmed and the kind of things that we're bringing to our interactions that might not be helpful.
Yeah, yes. and also, I've enrolled in the bridge walk, but I'm not coming. I'm just getting the shirt.
Oh.
And I don't know, it's because I'm not coming back there anymore. Anyways, I just don't have the money to go overseas, but I still feel like I can stay in touch and feel like I'm participating.
Yeah, that's great. And also, of course, with your sign up, that's somebody who's eating in Cantolomba. So that's a great way to participate
yes.
and help out.
And there's a little bridge near our house over a stream, so I thought I might wear my shirt and walk over that.
That's great. Yeah. I have a feeling people are going to be doing that all over the world, actually, other folks who can't make it.
Walking over little bridges.
Yeah, or just people walking over bridges all day with beautiful black T-shirts on.
Yeah, it's exciting. So I'll get off in a sec, but I'll just say I'm practice is pretty good at the moment. I'm really quite consistent and on all levels, and I'm believing less, and that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of been penetrating a bit more, this whole, believe nothing thing. It's
mm-hmm.
like, is that, and that's not true, and that's not true, So I think it's kind of just a little bit deeper than it has been before, and that's really good for me.
It really, really is. Yeah. I was kind of imagining as you were saying that, if someone were eavesdropping into this conversation who had no experience of practice, that would sound really bizarre. You're feeling really kind of good and successful because you're believing less. Right? But it is.
That's totally.
It's so true. That really is the kind of the key to, being relaxed and happy in life is the less we believe about anything really, but particularly the way you're talking about it, the less we believe from the voices and what conditioning is saying, the more we're here, the more we're happy, and the more we're clear. Kind of to tag it to the previous conversation, the more we're clear on what is so, instead of just living in some kind of a made up interpretation about reality that has embedded in it all kinds of reasons to suffer and feel bad about ourselves.
Yeah, and it's taking me years. But it's like a glacier, but it's happening, and that's fine.
Mhm, mhm. Yeah, it's more than fine. It's we use this word a lot, but it's miraculous, really, for anyone who that's happening to. It's hard to actually, I think for me anyway, it's hard to remember that in the middle of it, just how lucky we are that there is this possibility, because like talking about believing. The difference in a life where someone is aware that there are things happening and in the mind, things that we're making up about stuff that aren't true, the difference between the life experience of someone like that and the life experience of someone who doesn't know that there could be things that are happening in the mind that are not true, wow, those are two mm-hmm. really different lives. No matter where kind of we are.
Yeah,
on the program. Go ahead.
I just think it's just like if I look at my diaries over. Like, if I was looking at last year's diary, this time last year, and then the year before, and I just think, wow, actually, yes, I am changing every year. Really, mm-hmm. I am. But, of course, when I'm in it sometimes, I don't see that. But I just have to look back and realize that I am.
Yeah, that's really good. Another kind of way we get that feedback is we find ourselves in situations that in the past would have produced, you know, some kind of big conditioned reaction, and it doesn't. Or we notice ourselves handling it differently or in a way that's much more skillful, or, you know, we're able to take care of ourselves in the middle of it, or all the kind of things that come out of practice. And we get little glimpses of the actual transformation that's happening.
Yes, so let's celebrate.
And celebrate, yeah. And, of course, the thing I love about it is that there's nowhere to get. You know, there's no goal here. The joy in practice is practice itself. So we're going along, we're letting go, you know, like you say, we're not believing as much. Just practicing that is joyful. And so, you know, it doesn't matter where we are or where we're going or where we get, because it's that itself is what brings the joy and also kind of the sense of purpose and belonging and all that kind of stuff that we want to life.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, and hello, everybody, and have a wonderful bridge walk.
Thanks a lot, and thanks for your support. We'll be thinking of you tomorrow. We'll be imagining Holly there with her T-shirt walking across the bridge.
Thank you. I am there in spirit.
You're there in spirit, yeah.
Okay, I guess I'll call back in a few months or something.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, let us know what's going on.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, take care.
See you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Holly. You're listening to Open Air. Dave, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Dave. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Dave.
Hi.
Well, I'm following an encouragement by Sherry at the end of my retreat.
Okay.
Before I returned home, and it was to keep in touch.
Okay. All right.
Keep in touch. So that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. And, good advice for all of us.
Excellent advice. And I just so appreciate the conversations tonight, because I was just looking at how when I got home the very next day, I just signed up for everything on the website.
For folks who don't know, you did a kind of an extended stay here for you were here for quite a good chunk of time this summer.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, better part almost 2 months. And last time when I got home, I had such wicked backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed some practice opportunities because conditioning talked me out of it.
Yeah, so you're prepared this time. You know what the stakes are.
Yes. And the stakes seem to get greater and greater the more I intensely practice.
And would you say that you become more and more able to choose what your heart wants?
Yes. Absolutely. I am. And it's still not without all that resistance you talked about and all the, you know, screaming and yelling and no, but... Wow. That's gratitude for practice that I really see it for what it is now and know what my deepest heart's desire is to end suffering. And it's all this practice opportunities that's really allowing me to do that.
Yeah, it's true. And really, there's no point in idealizing a state where there's not going to be resistance.
No.
Because I don't know if that, I mean, we have to ask Sherry, actually. I don't actually know myself, but I don't know if that ever would change because, you know, conditioning is going to resist to the very bitter end.
Yeah.
And in a way, you know, that's we can sort of be grateful for that because, you know, that you just kind of gave a little testimonial for it because you left, you didn't extend a stay last year, went home, got hammered, it sounds like.
Yeah, I got really hammered.
Got really hammered. And so I'm sure that wasn't a very pleasant thing to have happen, but you got a good piece of information out of that. You really got to see what conditioning is up to, what the stakes are, and how much conditioning wants to remain in control of you and what it will do to try to stay in control of you. And so this year you were kind of armed with that information and you stepped out and are practicing, at least so far, making some really different choices.
Yes, exactly. And I love what you talked about, the three jewels again, the Bodhi, the Dharma, and the Sangha, because... Yeah, and Sherry's even mentioned it. You know, we could sit against a blank wall and eventually it would happen. Maybe it would happen. The encouragement is, we'd probably eventually see everything, but why not take advantage of the teachings and the guide and Sangha through all the opportunities that have come up?
Yeah, it really is the shortest way, I suspect.
Yeah.
I was actually was reading something recently. This is a Zen thing, talking about practice, and it was so interesting to read it because there was no mention in it of what feels to me to be there's a lot of ways of what we could talk about as sort of the heart of our practice, but one of them is the it's kind of the psychological, the need to look to see what's going on with me and recognize that that is conditioned mind and let that go. I think in a lot of practices, what the kind of the intention instead is to focus the attention enough on something other than me that I experience kind of bliss states and, like that. And I'm sure that's fine too. But, in our practice, there's this mirroring. It's kind of actually been a theme of the whole evening going back to the Good News Update. But there's a mirroring that happens where, to whatever extent we are within the structure of the practice, are required to see what's going on with us and to look to see if that's conditioning or not, or the heart, and then let go whatever's conditioning.
Yes.
So at the monastery, of course, is on retreat or just being here as a monk, as you know very well, there's a lot of scrutiny that happens, and we're really paying attention. Other people are paying attention to what's going on too, so we get support for really having to look at that. And it would be a very different practice if that element was not a part of it.
Yes. And I love the discussion about it. I've been in Reflective Listening Buddies for a few quarters now, maybe a couple years now. But I so appreciate having that whole process and having that kind of that privileged environment set up, away from the monastery, which is very difficult to do in a household with individuals that aren't practicing. That's extremely difficult, except for on at-home working meditation retreat days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to coax them a bit into just a little bit of the privileged environment. But that weekly call is truly transforming in my experience.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. How else can we know where we are and
right.
what's going on unless we experience ourselves in an environment that doesn't reflect everything that we're trying to get past?
Yes. Yes, and every time I do an extended stay at the monastery, I get home and I just seem to have this deeper level of appreciation of how magical that structure is, really, and how miraculous that, we just carry, they say from the beginning of beginningless time, I'm carrying this ego-centered karma conditioning / self-hate with me, and then I come into the monastery and it's just like, wow, I'm just hitting every edge possible. Because it's so relentless in itself, and that is just so helpful.
Mm-hmm. And just so people know who haven't had the experience, there's not a lot actually happening outside of you to cause that.
Exactly.
It's just, there's not people.
Exactly.
People aren't hitting you with sticks or anything like that.
No.
But you just basically, like you say, you kind of arrive with this kind of momentum behind you. That's all this conditioning,
right.
And you hit an environment that doesn't support it. It says, no. There's really no way to act out of all this stuff. The only really way to be here is just be present. And then, just conditioning just starts kicking and screaming.
Oh, it so does. So, and I'm just so grateful that my heart was open and willing to sit down and sign up for all the practice opportunities. And I'm just so grateful for the practice because I didn't get the huge backlash, and I've got all these upcoming events that are continuing to support ending suffering, which is my experience. Incredibly supportive this time, and that's
really a kind of a like a practice deepening or a getting grounded, getting kind of solid feet under you in practice. It sounds like.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm going to let you go, Dave. Maybe you can squeeze one more caller in.
Okay, great. Thanks for calling, Todd.
Thanks again. Thanks, Dave. We'll see you soon on retreat in a week.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Yes. Awesome. Can't wait either. Okay. Good night.
Okay. Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. You're listening to Open Air. And we do have another caller here, Dave.
All right, but shall we do it?
Yes. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Pasha. Hi, Dave and Michael.
Hi, Pasha.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Very good. thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Kim, I'm prepared. As it's always a challenge for conditioning, start throwing a lot of things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good to stay through the show and see how, I mean, I can feel it through my body. My heart start pumping and then I'm coming back and coming back. And I'm still staying in that unprepared state.
That's amazing.
Which
yeah.
is, yeah.
Kind of a roller coaster ride. You can kind of induce the excitement of a roller coaster.
Yes, yes. And, well, one thing recently happened. Our San Francisco sitting group organized a garage sale for the for the bridge walk for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project, and it was an amazing event. It was something that that I would never imagine, or you know, like who would have thought? Well, it's just a garage sale in my own kind of projection. Well, I've seen other garage sales, so it was very, I mean, it was an extraordinary event, not only for me, but it was, but also, you know, touching so many people, not only folks in Cantalomba, which was a very successful event. We raised more money than I thought we could have raised in a garage sale, but also, seeing, you know, reconnecting with neighbors and people who are coming, and you know, seeing their stories, and you know, just sharing. You know, this is a project. Well, we've been going for a bridge walk for some number of years, and the neighbor came and said, "Wow, you guys, how long you've been involved with this?" And I almost said, "Well, we've been inviting you to a bridge walk for all these years, but." It just never come across to people, you know, what is it for? And when we are here, when we are, you know, we're kind of blocking the sidewalk, you know, it's hard to, you know, hard to pass unnoticed. So, you know, in that way. And also, it felt like bringing Sangha, because it was at our garage, it felt like bringing Sangha to our home. It was a really amazing event, and even we tried to our best abilities practice the privileged environment.
Mm-hmm.
It was many things that came up for me in the area of. Kind of compassionate speech that that was presented as a practice opportunities, and
that's neat, Paja. I love hearing about that. It sounds like you know, it's kind of like you set this thing up. You didn't really expect it to be a whole lot more than just a kind of a usual garage sale. It sounds like, but you just kind of turned on the spigot. And this kind of the energy of the practice infused it, and just lots and lots of really neat things happened for you and for the other Sangha members who were there, and also it sounds like for just the people who stopped by.
Yes, and I could never forget the eyes of the child who bought a laptop, you know, and his grandma just bargained it for like $20, and he was. He was so excited, and it just, I don't know, like, what he's going to do with it, but it was amazing. He was so happy, and you know, and, oh, my God, and cleaning up the house before the garage sale, it was an experience. It's been for years we've been, you know, putting away, well, eventually we'll come to do that, Mm-hmm. And then, okay, the garage sale is coming up. You know, it's, yeah, it's it was, I mean, it's just such a cleansing experience. And again, the conditioning would come up and then, well, I have to go through the old stuff, you know. And, you know, at some point it got me, like, to stay up very late at night to do it. But it helped me to recognize, well, you know, I couldn't do it for the whole house. I mean, that's, I mean,
that
I got a lot.
Always yep, wanting to yep. ruin a good time, isn't it?
Well, you always want to do it perfect, you know, and like for, you know, everything and so on. But the most amazing stuff is just, it's just a garage sale, but it turned out to be such an overwhelming, it's the only experience I can come close is when I first came to the monastery for the retreat, and conditioning was saying, well, retreat, I mean, what could happen? You've been practicing for years, meditation, and blah, 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 and, you know, and then mind-blowing, life-changing, you know, the things happening, and you're like, wow. So,
yeah,
I mean, that wow from the garage sale, it's really, really amazing thing. So, I'm so grateful for the practice and for the Sangha and for the San Francisco sitting group and for this more and more practice opportunities. And that was my time.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for sharing that. That was really inspiring, Pasha. Are we going to see you on Saturday?
Yes, of course. The whole family is going to be there.
All right. That's great. I can't wait.
Can't wait, too. Thank you.
Okay, take
Bye-bye.
Care. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
You're Bye-bye. Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Pasha. Well, that was an inspiring call.
That sure was. Yeah, that's great. That got me lit up.
Yes. Very fun. Very exciting. Dave, it's been a great pleasure and privilege for me to have you with us tonight, along with the rest of Sangha. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, likewise, Michael. You do a great service for all of us, keeping this
Thank
thing
you.
Running.
Thank you. And we'll talk with you next time.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Michael. Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.